In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. As we come to the close of this convention, this Synod of the Convocation of Episcopal Churches in Europe, I want to speak to a theme that we spent a lot of time talking about. First of all, learning how to say the words Committee on Mission Congregations. Repeat after me, please. Committee on Mission Congregations. A long-standing committee, but that we are reforming with an eye to a new day, a new era in Europe for us all. And one of the tasks of this committee is to help the rest of us, me, the bishop, and the Council of Advice, particularly with the task of planting new churches. And so I want to address that. 2 weeks ago, the South African entrepreneur turned Californian, Elon Musk, announced his plans to plant a civilization on the planet Mars by the year 2050. If it were anybody else, this plan would be laughed out of court. But it is Elon Musk, whose electric car, the Tesla, is now the best-selling car in its class in America, who has just finished building the largest battery plant in the world in Utah in order for everyone to be able to store their solar power in their homes. Elon Musk, whose SpaceX is the leader in the fierce competition for the commercial exploitation of space. He has a lot of credibility when he starts to talk like this. So Musk sees SpaceX sending initial materials to Mars in 2018, which is only 2 years away, and the first group of settlers in 2025. SpaceX is building a Super Heavy Falcon X rocket, larger than the Saturn V rocket that put astronauts on the moon, in order to be able to propel 100 people at once in a large shuttle-like craft to the planet's surface, and there every 2 years to send more and more and more until the number of people on Mars reaches 1 million. Extremely ambitious, but coming from him, it's not implausible. So why am I telling you this story? Who is going to plant the first church on Mars? Have you stopped giggling yet? Still no, huh? Well, think of it not so much as a pie-in-the-sky project, literally at last, but rather as a thought experiment. What would it take? What is the absolute minimum necessary to have any hope of success in that venture? One of the things that Mr. Musk says must happen is that the cost of a ride to Mars must go down to at least $100,000 instead of the $1 billion that NASA says it currently would cost to put one human being on Mars. So, given the cost, $100,000, how many people do we have to send? How many missionaries must go out? Jesus sent his disciples out two by two, but Judea and Samaria are less dangerous places than Mars, and Mr. Musk cheerfully admits there will be deaths. So maybe we need more. 3, 6, 12? And what must these people have in terms of being equipped for the work of the mission? First of all, they have to have other skills. St. Paul would have said they need to be tent makers. But the kinds of skills necessary for a colony on Mars, life skills, in a very hostile environment, that's kind of like living in Antarctica in the wintertime with an atmosphere that's poisonous. So you really need to know a lot of things before you can be a missionary. But more than that, what else do they need? They need to have a clear understanding of the scripture and the reasons why we would undertake such a perilous, if not to say crazy, undertaking. They need to be able to interpret the scriptures to the hard-minded materialists that abound already among our scientists and engineers. Materialist in the philosophical sense that there's nothing but matter. And once you know all the physical laws of the universe, you will have a complete understanding of everything. They will need to be able also to understand ritual, because in that context, civilization on Mars will be different. It will have a new culture, a culture of survival, but nevertheless a new culture that our missionaries must be able themselves then to understand. Furthermore, something's going to change dramatically when you leave Earth. For instance, your will be done on Mars as it is in heaven. But the whole issue of the Earth in the scriptures shifts. And they will also need to have support from back home, supplies, Bibles, all kinds of aids to education, the best thinking that's going back on at home as to how to evangelize people in this context, and so forth and so on. So what's the point of the thought experiment? If we come to understand what the absolute minimum necessary is in our thought experiment for sending missionary to Mars to plant churches on another planet, we will understand very clearly how to do it right here. You see what I'm saying? There is a need for new churches in Europe. Benedict XVI called for a re-evangelization of Europe. And when I met the present cardinal in charge of the Pontifical Council on Christian Unity, I asked him if he still stood by a sentence in his book that the re-evangelization of Europe can only take place ecumenically. So we're not talking about taking Europe over for the Episcopal Church. But we are talking about the very present need of people in this society, in this time, whose hope is being frittered away, whose false gods are letting them down, our gods of money, our gods of fame and beauty, our gods of power. Sooner or later, those idols will let you down. They will be proven to be false gods. We know the true God. We know the true hope for humanity. We know that God loves every person without exception, and in a way that we cannot even imagine. God loves us with a fierce love that will not let us go, and we know this because we see that love in Jesus Christ. This is the message we need to bring in the power of the Holy Spirit and counting on the power of the Spirit to help us spread the message. But we must learn also in this present time, what is it going to take to help our own people plant churches around Europe? And that's a great big enterprise, but I think if you think of it sort of in a different way, you begin to identify the kind of formation that we need to help give to church planting groups. The way I know how to plant a church that's successful is, because I've learned how it fails, is also that you need to start not with a building, not with money, but you need to start with people who are willing to go out and to start meeting as Christians in prayer. And as soon as they start to coalesce, even into a house church, they need help from us, from the sponsoring parish and from the convocation. Years ago, a priest came to visit me in Paris, a priest named Margaret Davidson, and she had been working for a year in Almaty, Kazakhstan, for the United States Agency for International Development. And she said, "We have 5 Episcopalian families in Almaty, and they will be there for 3 years. And Kazakhstan does not allow the founding of churches. What can we do?" And I said, "Are they allowed to meet in a house privately?" "Yes." So I said, "Well, for 3 years they can't survive without the Eucharist." And she said, "That's why I came to ask you, what can we do? And I said, I thought about it, and I prayed about it, and I came back to her and I said, "We can license a lay Eucharistic visitor to distribute the communion." And she said, "And how will that person get the reserved sacrament?" And I said, "Airmail." And so for 3 years, this little community in Almaty, Kazakhstan, was fed through the convocation of churches in Europe. What does it take? What is the minimum necessary? These are the things not only for our Committee on Mission Congregations to think about, but all of us, because the need is urgent. People who have no hope are already the walking dead, and we have the hope to offer. That in the power of the Spirit, many can accept and find new joy and new life in Jesus Christ, in communion with us and the many other Christian churches, some of whom are represented here, the Greek Orthodox Church, the old Catholic churches, the Reformed Church, the Roman Catholic Church, where we are. But in concert together, Europe needs re-evangelizing. Europe needs new hope. We have it to share. And maybe even one day, we will take it to Mars. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.